Without a doubt, good fathers love their daughters. But there's only certain terms a good father would use to describe his daughter.
And I'm not sure calling your daughter sexy is one of them.
Might be grounds for a little more investigating as to what's going on in Dad's mind.
My.
My. Crazy.
Crazy.
Family.
Family.
My.
Crazy.
Family.
Welcome to the program. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. You don't miss any episodes of the program. In fact, listen to it completely commercial-free. Get access to advanced episodes of the show and the archive. Like I said, all ad-free on Apple Podcasts right now. You can even try that out for 3 days free. Plus, they're giving you a chance to win a $500 Amazon gift card just in time for the holidays, right?
Yeah, all you got to do is head over to wherever you listen to podcasts. Give us a review. Take a screenshot of it. And then send it to contest@crazyfampod.com, and we will put you in the running to win that gift card.
Super, super easy to do. So do check that out. We do greatly appreciate that. And who knows, maybe you'll walk away with some extra bucks for the holidays. Yes, the lineup of stories here today, I'm shaking my head on it. But yeah, you know. Family drama, and there's going to be a lot of this very soon for many people because it's almost the holidays.
And have you been seeing all of the holiday ads on TV now? I am.
I don't watch TV.
you're a smart individual.
Yeah, I mean, I watch TV, but I don't watch TV. I don't watch live television. I don't know the last time I've watched live television. I just pretty much do everything on demand, and I do the commercial-free options whenever possible, which is about 99% of the time.
Which is really smart, because I'll tell you right now, it is when we're recording this, we haven't even hit Halloween yet, and there are Christmas commercials probably every break now.
Well, isn't that special?
Yeah, isn't that nice? Let's just push into the holidays.
Happy holidays, everyone. It's coming, and get ready to cope. This show can probably be part of your coping process, as you can realize, maybe your family isn't quite as bad as you thought when you hear some of these stories today.
Oh, and boy, do we have them. So our first story, it says, "Hello, I've been listening to some episodes of your new podcast, and I have to say that I feel a bit relieved to know that everyone actually has some crazy stories about their family to tell, and I've got a bunch of them as well."
There we go.
It says, "Sorry for my mistakes. English is not my first language." And I will preface it by saying, if it's not your first language, you're doing amazing, because you'll see as I'm reading the story, there's no issue here. It says, "I grew up at a small farm in the suburbs of a town. It was a family home where my mother and her two siblings grew up. When my grandfather, my mom's dad, married my grandmother, the new bride was not allowed to come and live with him on the farm. Apparently, his mother, my great-grandmother, was a very controlling woman who dictated everything happening in and out of the house. By the way, when she first came on the property, she was just a maid, a farm girl, but married my great-grandfather, who later died of a heart attack while slaughtering a pig. So my grandmother came to live with my grandfather, when my mother was a baby. She was handled awfully by my great-grandmother and was treated just like a maid. She was working hard farm labor and with her horses on other farms too. Eventually, she turned to alcohol, so much so that her two mares pulling cart automatically stopped at every pub on the way home from the fields." It's beautiful. "Grandfather was of poor health for a long time and died at quite a young age. They had my mother and twins, a boy and a girl. Grandmother's alcoholism turned for the worse. She got liver cirrhosis when my mom was about 23. Did I mention that by the time things got more complicated, because my mother's sister and my father's brother met at my parents' wedding and got married, even though he beat her even before the wedding?" Jesus.
Dysfunction. Continuing on. Runs rampant.
Yeah. "Back to my sick grandmother. She is on the deathbed, and somehow my mother got her to sign documents where the majority of the farm was left to my mother. One third of the land, forests, and fields was to be divided between her two siblings. My mother already had a family, my oldest sister and brother, who was working on the farm. So in her eyes, this seemed fair. But in fact, this triggered the family dispute that has lasted for over 50 fucking years. There are 5 children in our family. All are grown up now, and most of us never knew a time that there wasn't some battle between our parents and their married sibling. They built a house in our backyard because my aunt considered it her right to do so. I remember constant court battles and threatening psychotic letters, poisoned animals, visits from different inspectors. Those were all gifts from our neighbors. This brought so much chaos in our family. Our parents were arguing a lot. My mother was the boss of the family, and more or less everything had to be the way she said, or there'd be a fight with Dad. I'm 40 years old now, and sometimes I still get a flashback from my childhood years. We didn't have a lot of money. We weren't hungry, but we didn't have a car. We never went on family vacations. Every piece of clothing my sibling and I owned was secondhand. Primary school was living hell for me, since I was bullied a lot just because of the fact that everyone knew I was a poor farm girl. Then the story goes on, and I'm seeing some ethics violations in here, but you'll figure out what I'm talking about. I got called to the school dentist. I didn't know that they had a school dentist.
That would be, I've never had a school dentist.
No. As I was seated in his chair with my mouth open, he said, "Do you have cows at your farm?" I nodded. He proceeded, "So how does it feel to shovel cow manure?" Then he and his nurse and my teacher who was there had a nice big laugh about it. I was only 7 at the time, but I know that they were mocking me and felt like total shit. So your school had a dentist? How sadistic.
Or was there? I guess it, did they just tell her, "This is the dentist, come over here"?
God, you're right. Maybe there was no such thing as a school dentist. I've never heard of that.
I've heard of it happening where, like, they'll bring in a dentist, like, for a specific day and do, like, a massive amount of cleanings and such for kids that don't have dental care where the parents aren't taking them in. When Harper was in school in Branson, they did that. There was a lot of lower-income families that were in the public school system, and a lot of not even just lower income, but meth addicted families. And these kids were not being taken care of at all. It was disgusting. And these poor kids, what they would go through. But the school district actually did have a lot of money because Branson makes a lot of money on tourism, and a lot of that goes to the schools. So it was funny. The education system was actually pretty decent there, but the people that were attending, these poor kids, they're living in hotels. Their parents are addicts and look like zombies on the street. And if they're making it to school, you know, it's kind of a miracle. I remember going to some of the presentations and school events there, and it was like, oh my God, it's like Child Protective Services should have like just a thing where you go through the door and just like weed out half of the children and get them to good homes. But that's the thing. There was, you know, there's not many out there when you have parents that are alive half the time. That's where the kids stay because there's not many other options. Anyway, that's my tangent.
Oh, that is so sad though.
Yeah. So dental does exist, but I've never seen it like a permanent dentist in a school. I've seen it like, you know, this dental practice is coming in for the week, but that's about it.
Okay, well, that would make a little more sense than in this story.
Yeah.
And not that we were doubting this person, but we were doubting the school that somebody's pulling some shit over on you. So it goes on to say that the nurse and the teacher who was there had a nice big laugh about it. I was only 7 at the time, and I knew that they were mocking me. My mother was talking with the teachers a few times and invited whole classes of school kids to come and visit our farm to look at the animals. Of course, the classes that my sister and me were in as well. Since we didn't have a lot of money, our house was only half built and everything was quite messy inside and outside of the house. So the thing with school kids visiting was really embarrassing. Imagine the majority of your schoolmates don't like you and then they come to your home. I mean, that's, first of all, that's your safe space. You don't want bullies and, you know, kids who don't like you coming to your home. Jeez. Yeah. It goes on to say, anyway, all the arguing about the land stopped a few years back when my mother finally resolved those issues with her sister. Mom got really sick and landed in a wheelchair. My father does everything for her. And when I visit, she always says what a good man he is and complains about what bad things he says to her. And when I'm alone with him, he basically says the same things about her. My sister told them to get a divorce if they can't work it out together, and they thought that suggestion was unheard of. I told them to talk to a therapist, but their reaction was the same. I know they did the best they could, and they're both very generous people, but because of all the drama, screaming, and fighting, it left all of us children somehow damaged. Despite that, I have to say the older I get, the easier it gets to understand certain things about myself, and I'm trying to repair the damage. All of this is just a very rough description of all the shit that happened in our family. I still have a lot of stories to tell. Maybe some other time. Keep up the good work. All the best. Damn.
Yeah, you know, I think time is an interesting thing with that, because for the longest time, the idea of abuse was always physical, especially growing up. It's like abuse. Yep. They're beating you. They're hitting you. And even if that's not going on, and your parents, there's mental abuse going on, and they probably were completely unaware that that was even abusive, because they likely were just repeating the cycle of what they knew and never had any sort of enlightenment to go beyond that. That certainly leaves its toll. It certainly left its toll for them to repeat it again and do that to their children. And now those children have to, like the writer, have to realize, I don't want to keep doing this. I'm not going to be that type of person. But you can also, at the same point, I think, look at it a little bit, and time, as you may have been very bitter about it for many years, and rightfully so, you can kind of look at it in perspective and go, well, what were the tools that these people were given to raise me, to be a parent, and what sort of, you know, intelligence did they have? And that's where I think some grace can come in, where people that were, you know, unintentionally mentally abused. But of course the damage is done. It did happen, but not everyone who's doing that is necessarily out with nefarious intent. They're just basically in their mind parenting in the way that they thought was correct. Again, probably based on how they were parented. Never an excuse for abuse, but I think there's a lot of the mental areas where it's not necessarily out there to be nefarious. It's just very, very dysfunctional behavior that then ends up doing damage as abuse.
Well, and I think there's just no checks and balances, especially if you are on this farm and your livelihood and your existence means that you are working from sun up to sundown, and there's no time to have relationships. You are constantly working.
Yeah.
And we know of a lot of families that were like that. The times of the depression and things like that, all people did was work. That's all they did. And so there was no time to sit back and reflect on, you know, am I treating my kids okay? Fuck it. I'm trying to put food on the table.
More like, are they alive? It was more, and that was the bar. Are they alive? Do they have shelter? Do they have food? Okay, I'm doing my job. Mm-hmm. And it's not, I mean, and were there some that, of course, went and abused that and then just went out to the bar and drank themselves away? Sure. And it's not an excuse for that, but that's what some did. Again, self-medicating, though, too, to escape the sadness and depression that they're feeling and the emptiness that's in their life, because all they can do is go, go, go. And there's just never that piece of sanity, nor were they ever shown that either, too. So they don't know, you know, what it's like to have a loving parent and someone who cares and gives selflessly without, you know, not without just checking the boxes of must have to survive.
Yeah.
So if they're missing that, they don't even realize, I think, half the time what they're not giving, because they wouldn't know how to give it because they've never had it.
What a sad story. I'm glad that this person is, you know, I think writing this down, typing it out and sending it in can be really cathartic. So sure. I hope that's how that comes across.
Yeah. And I'm glad you found the show and you realized, like they said at the beginning, your family's not as crazy as some of the others. Right? You're good. You got a good story. But but the thing is, someone will hear that and go, oh my God, my family's the same way. You know, it's survivable. But yeah, it certainly does its damage, without a doubt.
It is. Yeah, absolutely. So that leads us to our next story. It says, this is not going to be a long story, but I just wanted to share it. My dad called me sexy. I am 20 years old. I'm female. And I guess I usually dress comfortable, like sweats and hoodies. It was summer, so I decided to wear a crop top and shorts. They aren't even that short. They're a regular length. My mom and I were going into town on this day, so I walked to the car. My dad stops me and says that I look very sexy. I was weirded out.
Yeah.
I feel the word sexy is, well, sexual. I talked to my mother about my discomfort, and she said he meant it as a compliment. But I mean, as a woman, I am already sexualized enough in my day-to-day. I don't need it from my dad as well. My dad and I have never been really close, and now it's even worse. I feel just weird being close to him. Is this normal? Is it reasonable for me to be weirded and somewhat creeped out by it? Yeah, it is.
It's meaning it's not normal for him to be doing this. So it is normal for you to feel creeped out about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting when I read this email that came in, it reminded me a little bit of my situation. And Tony, I know you have a beautiful pool in your backyard. I grew up with a gorgeous pool in my backyard at my dad's house. He mm-hmm. lived in South Dakota.
Yeah.
And he had a court decree for me to spend from, I think it was June 9th to like August 20th or something. Every summer, mm-hmm. I had to stay at his house. And I lived in Minneapolis. So I was basically leaving all of my friends and going out to Podunk, South Dakota. And all I had was this pool,
mm-hmm.
you know, it was beautiful. I swam in it every day, even when I wasn't supposed to, cause I was alone for a lot of times. Mm-hmm. But if somebody came over, my dad was all fucking freaked out. My brother wore a fucking Speedo, but I had to be covered up because my dad didn't want men gawking at me. And I was like 13, 14.
Okay.
That's weird. Why are you looking at your daughter and thinking that others would sexualize her?
Well, I mean, and it's especially now like we're like a string bikini where like everything is showing. Yeah. I mean there's a little weird. That's a bit off. I don't know why someone would be that paranoid. And if you, who are you having in your house that you think would sexualize your daughter?
Right?
I guess is the other question. Like whoever you're inviting over, if you feel that way about them, I wouldn't have them at my house.
Yeah. Maybe they shouldn't be in your friend circle. If you're concerned that they're going to look and see a developing 13-year-old and get all fucking horned up over it.
Yeah. That's fucking weird.
So, you know, and back to our story about dad saying you look sexy. I'm not sure that's a proper term to use for your daughter. You could say that is a really flattering outfit.
Is it?
I don't know.
I guess that's the question. I mean, because what one man is going to find, you know, quote unquote, sexy versus flattering. You know, I don't know. I mean, I don't think I'd ever use the term sexy with my daughter in any way, shape or form. It's a territory that just really shouldn't be gone down or language that should be used, period, with your daughter.
Yeah, that's for her significant other to say, oh, my God, look at you. You know, you look sexy today. But dad, you look comfortable. You look. Why do you even have to comment in the first place? Our next one. This one's a doozy, dude. Everybody, I hope you're sitting down for this one.
Okay.
I have two older sisters. I am 18 and female. The oldest is 27 and female. Let's call her Courtney. She does not have the same father as me. And my older sister, who's 23, we'll call her Marnie. When I was young, I didn't see Courtney much because she lived with her father, and I and my sister, Marnie, lived together with our two parents. I feel way more close to my sister, Marnie, because of that. Well, here's the problem. My sister, Courtney, works in a kindergarten. She likes to send us videos of the babies that she works with on Snapchat group, in which there are my two sisters and our mom. In these videos, she's mocking these kids because they cry, because they look ugly, according to her, or saying racist and horrible things about Asian babies that she is supposed to be taking care of.
Oh my God.
Now, I didn't say anything before, but the last time she did it, I said to her it was very disrespectful and even against the law to film babies without their parents' consent. So she started saying I was in a bad position to judge how she works because I never did the work. A reminder to the story, I just started college, and before I had a very important exam, which extended over 2 years. Then she says, then I told her that if the baby's nanny did the same things, she would have beat her. We argued about this for like 15 minutes. I still was saying that taking videos of babies without the parents' consent to mock them was very disrespectful. Well, she was saying that I do nothing and never did anything, and I missed school for no reason, and much things that have nothing to do with filming babies that she's taking care of. And by the way, I still passed my exams the first time with honors. She did not. And that is the end of the story. Holy shit.
So she's just deflecting everything because she can't handle her own reality of what she's choosing to do or being bad or wrong in it. So she has to find something else to throw at somebody else, which is what people do when they know that they're wrong at something, but will never, ever admit it.
Well, and you know, there's a sort of an ethical issue going on here as well that she's bringing up. I know a lot of people who work in the medical field, people who work in the veterinary field. It's just Snapchat is a really scary thing because the videos disappear. It's real easy to take a snap of something and send it to a few people thinking nobody's going to find out about it.
Till somebody screenshots
things. Yeah, I've seen things from medical clinics that I never should have seen. It's not good.
What are people taking pictures of that should not be seen?
Horrible, horrible, like infestations of maggots.
Okay.
And, oh my God. Yeah. Just where like it's like a pustule that is oozing. And yeah, I mean, these are blatant, horrible HIPAA violations, you know?
But they're not being posted online to like, look at this rotten, horrible thing. It's more like to other professionals going, look how horrible this person treated this animal or what horrible condition this is in. Okay. HIPAA violation, but more understandable than posting it to like rotten.com or something.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. But it's, you know, is that a violation? I know in the veterinary world, there aren't really strict rules about, there's no HIPAA. There's patient doctor and patient nurse confidentiality type moral thoughts. And anything I've seen is not anything local. It's just from friends who are in other areas and they're like, hey, look at this. And there's Facebook groups too, you know, where they're sharing pictures of, hey, look at this. And it's more for professional consideration. Like you should see this because like you may encounter it in your field, you know, at your clinic.
Yeah. That makes sense.
But it does make sense. But again, is it a violation of privacy?
Yeah, I don't think in that, my opinion, in the animal sense, if it's being shared amongst vets and they're trying to help and so others know, and it's not just a gawking thing, I would think the same is true in the human medical profession too. If you're doing this for the right intent and it's to educate someone's coming up that hasn't seen many things, I don't see why that there's anything wrong with that. It's another, though, if you're taking pictures and sending them to your family members who have nothing to do with your profession, that right there is a violation. I don't know if it's HIPAA, but I would imagine it'd be a very fireable offense should someone find out that she's doing it. And I mean, potentially, you know, lawsuit there against the business itself for having employing someone that's doing that sort of behavior.
Well, and one other thing to point out, in the medical field, they do a lot of picture sharing and case sharing, but they also get permission from the patient. This usually isn't something like, you know, they're able to share without asking the patient themselves, are you okay with me sharing this for educational purposes? This case in the daycare, this is a very disrespectful.
This is just a horrible person. This is a shitty narcissist is what it is. It's a narcissistic bitch that thinks that she can do whatever she wants. When she's confronted on it, she doesn't even argue her point. She just shuts down and deflects things that she believes to be wrong on other people, doesn't even tackle it, which is what that's how they go on. That's how, you know, they never get confronted. People do try to confront narcissists, but this is what you get. They just start dishing out whatever they think is bad about you. And they have a fucking big, giant trove of it in their mind. And it's always there. It's ready to go. When they think of people, it's not this pile of information of like, this person did all these great things for me, or this is a really nice person in my life, or here's a positive. It's like, what horrible things do I have on this person that I can dish out that way or this way? And even if I don't, what kind of beliefs do I have about this person, however unfounded they may be, that I can throw at them to justify whatever the fuck I'm doing?
Well, and the other thing that's really got me concerned, this is somebody who's supposed to be taking care of babies and looking out for, very similar to an animal, those who cannot speak for themselves. These babies are in her care.
This would be the type of person that accidentally forgets them in the hot car seat.
I wouldn't doubt that at all. And why are you mocking children? If you're working with children and you're mocking them, there's you are not in the right field.
There's something very wrong deep down in someone if this is what you're doing. There's a very heavy sadness with that individual if you're going around taking mocking pictures of babies. It's one thing like, oh, look at this funny face they're making, or they look like an old man or whatever.
Right.
You probably still shouldn't be taking pictures of other people's children. But at the same point, that's very different than making racial remarks about the ugly babies, according to you.
I'm going to say this as a white person, and I'm sorry if this comes across wrong, but Asian babies are the most fucking adorable babies anywhere. Fight me on that. They are so precious. What the fuck is wrong with you, woman?
I think it's almost probably any child that she has this disdain for, is my guess. There's something dark there. I would be very concerned. If I were the sister, I'd be turning that woman in. I would too. I'd be calling that place and say, look, my sister's been doing this. I was trying to talk to her about how wrong it is. She doesn't seem to understand the levity of this and I would honestly be concerned about her around children.
Then you
got this record of it then. And then if something does happen, that place is going to get the shit suit out of them. And it's another reason why they'll have to get rid of her, because there's a record of it then. And if you're sensible, you don't keep someone on board that shows this level of disdain for children or just lack of care.
Well, and a baby crying is a baby in distress for some reason, whatever the reason is. So why are you mocking a child that's in distress?
There's something there. There's something, some big issues within that person that need addressing.
And you can go work at Starbucks or McDonald's and probably make more money than you're making at the daycare. So you need to get the fuck out of there. That's not the place for you. And you need to be slinging drinks somewhere. You know?
It's not the place for you, and you need to be slinging drinks somewhere. I like it. I like it a lot. All right, that's going to wrap up today's episode of My Crazy Family. If you like the program, be sure to keep us on the air. And press subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Get to 3 days free and get to access to all of our episodes, advanced episodes, and all of it ad-free on Apple Podcasts. Until next time, for Stacey, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of My Crazy Family.
My.
My.
Crazy.
Crazy.
Family.
Family.
My.
Crazy.
Family. Family.